Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 19. In your pew Bible is page 889. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. May God bless the reading and receiving of His Word.
This is one of my favorite times of the year for a lot of reasons, but a few years ago, I added another one. I get to sit down beside the manger instead of standing up. And there are some who are fortunate because the chair is in between them and me, and they don't have to see me during this time if they don't want to. Very, very familiar passage today. One that we know and hold so dearly. But I really wonder, how many of us really know how the Christmas story goes? I started to ask for a show of hands, but I imagine most folks in here would raise their hand. We know how the Christmas story goes, right? Or at least our typical mode of thinking, with the star and Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and Mary riding on the back of a donkey, 9 months pregnant, which wouldn't have been a very smart move, all that distance. And the angels, the shepherds showing up, the wise men. And if we had, as you all may know, because we've mentioned it before, if we had enough room, the wise men would be somewhere over here. But we put them all together for that one night, for that one idyllic scene, rather serene. And it gives us peace, does it not? It gives us a sense of joy. You know, most people, even today, have at least some image of what a nativity scene might look like. Even a lot of non-Christians. Although I wondered recently, and I did not watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but I heard them early on at the beginning saying, "We've got this and this and this and all these floats and all these balloons, and then we have the key person coming at the end." And my remark was, "Oh, they're going to have a nativity set on the last float." No. And I wondered what would happen if the last float that came through actually did have a nativity scene upon it. But most of us have a picture in our minds. Mary, the peasant girl, or some see her as a queen. Joseph, the carpenter with rough hands and a humble spirit. Here we go, TJ. Or, "Sweet little Jesus boy, born in a manger." Or, "What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" Angels bending near the earth. Wise men making a trek across the desert sands on camels and bearing gifts. And let's not forget those lowly shepherds with their staffs and their lambs. Sometimes we think of that mean old innkeeper, do we not? Such a mean man. If we had only been there and we had been the innkeeper, we would have let him in, right? Though the word for that's used here, kataluma, means a room in a house as well. And the baby Jesus in a feeding trough. All kinds of other things enter in. Depending on our age, we might even be like the little boy whose Sunday school teacher asked them around Christmas time to draw, everyone in the class to draw a scene of Christmas. And he did, and down in the corner he put this little round fat man. And his teacher said, wait a minute, Santa Claus wasn't there. Well, that's not Santa, he said. She said, well, that man wasn't there either. Oh, yes, he is. He was there that night. Oh, no, he wasn't. Yes, he was. We sing about him every year. That's round John Virgin. But let us think for a few more moments about all of this. We have this nice idyllic scene, and yet the reality is the Roman authorities were in power. The Jews are living in fear. Taxes are high. And suddenly, the people have to move around at the whim of an emperor. One who, in the minds of the Romans, is descended from the gods and who has the final authority. And in the midst of all of this, we find a pregnant young woman with her betrothed husband on the way to Jerusalem and then Bethlehem, passing the great walled city with its temple, with its palaces, places in which you would expect a king to be born, only to find their way to what was probably a cave hollowed out in the side of a hill to house animals, to give them shelter. What kind of king would be born in that kind of setting? And what does this story tell us about not only who that baby would be, but what he might expect of those for whom he came? Perhaps the key is in Luke, in the story of the shepherds that has been immortalized in so many different ways. The shepherds, who were peasants, much like the young woman who gave birth, who were of very low estate. They were on the opposite end of the socioeconomic spectrum and the power scale compared to the Roman emperor. In fact, compared to so many others, even the high priests, they were way, way down the totem pole. The only peace they could find in such a harsh world under Roman domination was perhaps sitting outside at night looking at the stars when the Romans were asleep except for a few guards, and when the world seemed to be quiet. And yet in the middle of all of that, their night is interrupted with news of the birth of a king, a baby who would bring real peace, not the tentative peace or the forced peace of the Roman armies, but the opportunity for real peace within one's heart, within one's spirit. A peace not meant to be kept inside, but a peace meant to be shared with all of those around. one who was, as the angels announced, a Savior. A term that they were familiar with. They had hoped for a Savior for so many years. They had heard the Romans declare the Emperor as Savior. And yet, this Jesus will come to be a doer of good, to save people from themselves more than from anyone else, and to teach them how to give peace, to bring goodwill. The emperor was declared as revered as Lord by the Senate. Pretty hefty authority, right? But then again, this tiny baby, this baby who is born in weakness, who is born in a stable, who is not even worthy of a crib, but is placed in a feeding trough, is declared Lord and Messiah, the Lord Christ, not by the Senate, not by the high priests, but by God Himself through a chorus of angels. Emperors were born in grand nurseries. Angels find Jesus in a manger. Angels sing glory to God. Angels that couldn't stay in heaven, but had to share that good news by coming to earth, breaking out that good news to tell men that heaven had come to earth. And from this point on, there could be peace, there could be goodwill, as they sang tidings of great joy. Tidings to bring comfort to those shepherds who were sitting out in the middle of the fields, watching their flocks. The light shone around them. The angels sang. And what did the shepherds do? Unlike the guards at the resurrection of Jesus who passed out because they were scared, unlike the disciples who, when Jesus appeared, thought they were seeing an apparition, a ghost, the shepherds, instead of saying, "This makes no sense. What was it that was in that food that we ate?" The shepherds went immediately. You know, not only is there a miracle that Jesus was born as Son of God, but there was a miracle that the shepherds believed the word they had been told and went looking for this babe. They had hoped for so long. Their faith had been tested. And yet here on the word of this angelic chorus, the text says they went with haste. In a hurry. Hustling as fast as they could go, because there was a proclamation. Behold, the Lord Messiah, the Christ, has been born. And it is good news of great joy for all people. For He is a Savior, the angel said. Peace and goodwill. The kingdom of Christ is a proclamation of peace. The kingdom of Christ is a proclamation of grace. The kingdom of Christ is a proclamation of goodwill. Christ did not come and does not come to rule with a harsh hand, but with grace, with peace, with goodwill. Christ is not someone to be feared, and yet there are people in our world who are afraid. Afraid of what it might mean to come to Him, afraid of what it might mean to look fully in the eyes of this baby who grows up to be a man to preach a message of goodwill and grace and peace. But perhaps their fear comes because the shepherds immediately followed the orders of the angels. And when Jesus, this baby, grows up to be a man, he says, "Come and follow me." And people leave behind that which is familiar for a chance at that which is glorious and glory-filled. A chance to leave that which is harsh in order to find peace. To follow Jesus' example, to share the angel song, to honor it, to show peace and goodwill to others. This may sound kind of strange, and in some ways it may even sound kind of trite when we think about our world, but when we think about our world, do we not need even more today that message of peace and that action of goodwill? It's not just enough to think peaceful thoughts. It's not just enough to think good things about those who love us or who had the good taste to love us first or who are like us. More so, it is about showing goodwill. Showing goodwill to those who are on the lower end of our socioeconomic ideas. Showing goodwill to those who perhaps wronged us at some point in the past. Showing goodwill to that person who lives across the street who seems to be always sucking on sour pickles or eating lemons. As Martin Luther once said in a sermon that he preached at Christmas time, "Those who hear the angel song of joy and peace are like gods to their fellow man, peaceable, kind folk, glad to help and counsel anyone. When God is honored so, then are men friendly, without hate and envy, each regarding the other as greater than himself, and each saying to the other, 'Dear brother, please pray for me.'" End of quote. The shepherds were so strong in their faith in God, were so hopeful that there could be peace, that they could know goodwill, that they went. They were so strong in their faith and their hope for the Messiah that they were not only worthy of the angel's message, but guess what? They were the first ones to tell the good news of the birth to anyone else. They're told to go into the town to look for a baby. Well, what baby? There are all kinds of babies in this town. They're told to go and check out the feeding troughs in the stables, and there they would find a Messiah. God began that message through the angels, and God continued that message through the shepherds. God comes not as the emperor would, riding on the back of a stallion or decorating the palace. God comes in a baby born in weakness to save the world, declaring peace and goodwill. A baby not worthy of a crib, of diapers, of a big balloon, or a blue ribbon, but a baby who was called Savior and Lord and honored by shepherds and angels, honored later by Magi. We stopped in verse 19. The shepherds come and they tell what has happened and that this baby is the Lord's Christ, the King Messiah. And everyone who hears it is amazed. But Mary kept them and pondered these words in her heart. The shepherds didn't linger for a long time. In verse 20, which we didn't read, the story continues. And the shepherds returned. They turned around and went back. But did they go to the field and did they sit down and did they start watching the sheep again and eat their third shift lunch? No. They were so excited that they glorified God, telling everyone that they saw and sharing peace and goodwill even with those who would look down upon them. True harbingers of God's peace and goodwill. A peace and goodwill that was short-lived for some. If you really think about it, Mary keeping and pondering these things in her heart is very important to help share the good news, because just a few years later, people were amazed when this young boy stood in the temple and asked intelligent questions and gave intelligent answers to the rabbis. And yet, just a handful of years later, people forgot the message of peace and goodwill about him at his birth, as he is hounded and persecuted and eventually killed. But then he is raised to share peace and goodwill, not only with you and me, but to set us aside as shepherds. Shepherds who care for the sheep, our children, our neighbors, our spouses, our co-workers, fellow students, everyone with whom we come in contact. We are called by this babe in the manger and by God Himself in this babe to shepherd, to share peace, to show goodwill. The Lord's Christ gives each one of us that commission to sing the angel's song, not just at Christmas, but to sing that angel's song of peace and goodwill, and to live that angel's message of peace and goodwill from the manger to the glory of God in the world. May we pray. O Lord our God, we are amazed once again that You would love us so much that You would come not in the form of an emperor, but in the peace of an evening where there seemed to be no peace, so that we might find not only peace within our hearts, but so that we might share the goodwill found in that good news with a world in need, just as we are in need. It's in Christ's name that we pray, and we thank You for that opportunity. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 273. Good Christian men, rejoice, and women too. But number 273, good Christian men, rejoice with heart and tongue and voice, sharing the good news, yes, but also sharing the goodwill. Our altar is open for any decision that you might feel led to make. But I urge you to sing with joy of the peace and the goodwill to men. Hymn number 273.